today Annie cannot come, so I have to speak English by myself. So I still continue the talk on the Sutra of the Ten Chakras of Chittagabra. So I need to recap a little bit about what we were talking about in the previous talk. 那我们今天还是继续大圣十地十轮经哈。那我现在再把那个过去讲的哈，再把它稍微整理一下哈。So in the previous couple of talks, we talk about the chapter 2, which is the main important parts of this sutra. It talk about the 10 method to cultivate samadhi. Okay. And then what the difficulties we will encounter and how we protect our body and mind so that we can successfully cultivate these 10 kinds of samadhi. 那在这个第二品呢的十轮品呢是这本经的主要的重点所在哈。那在这个里面呢他介绍了十种修定的方法，然后呢然后再讲到说那我们要怎么那因为我们不是我们每个人都不是那么善根具足的，那我们会遇到什么样的困难，我们需要做什么样的身心的准备，然后才可以成功的修这个十种定的法门哈。So we talk about this is the how and why we suffer. Okay. So the core reason is we have subjectivity and objectivity. This kind of duality of discrimination. So that's why we accumulate a lot of karma, and on top of that, we have ignorance to cover up our true nature, and the craving will moisturize our karma so that it will grow into the tree. This tree represent the stream of karma, vexation, and suffering. And this tree, because we have a karma, vexation, and suffering, and it become a causes for us, which have five aggregates, to perceive things in an illusory way, and that we grasp vexations instead of true wisdom. And this we call it five grasping aggregates. And these five grasping aggregates in return nurture us our ignorance and karma, and enforce our views of subjectivity and objectivity. So it becomes like a circle, and all these phenomena just trap us into the cycle that we can never get out and see the true self. Okay. 那这个图呢就是我们上次讲过的，就是说其实我们呢最主要的问题来自于我们有我所，就是有能所的二元化的一个的分别。那有能所的之后呢，那我们造业之后呢问题，然后又有无明覆盖，然后又有爱来灌溉，然后就会然后这个那个我所之后就长成，这是一个比喻，它就会产生所谓的业流、烦恼流跟苦流，就是长成一棵大树。那这棵大树呢又会产生果实，那因为我们有这个三种业流、烦恼流跟苦流呢，那它会让我们的五蕴变成五取蕴，也就是说借由色声香味触法的这个五蕴的这个操作呢，然后我们去感受这世间的一切现象，然后变成是一种执着，然后给我们带来烦恼。 而不是给我们带来清净的智慧。好，那这样的五取运，就是带来烦恼的这样的操作的五取运呢，它变成一个果实落在地上之后呢，它又来灌溉，就是又来加深我们对于我跟我所的这种差别，这个分别相。好，然后我们就是在这样的一个不断的灌溉成长灌溉的过程中，没有办法真正的见到自己的自信。所以我们的根本的问题就是要在破什么，破能所的分别。那也就是国兴法师过去一个礼拜一直在讲的一个问题，就是要破除能所的这种分别。 So our core, you know, when we try to cultivate samadhi, the main goal is to destroy or dismiss the duality of subjectivity and objectivity, and it's also the main topic for Guo Xing Fa Si in the past week, that how we can find the origin of existence, and we have to in order to see that origin, we have to let go of theattachment of subjectivity and objectivity. Okay, so for this part, this sutra introduce the first three way to contemplate, to cultivate samadhi. So the first is very direct, that directly see through our attachment of subjectivity and objectivity, and also because of this duality, that how we operate our mind, which is we call consciousness, and our body, and then everything exists because of this. We call it dependent arising. So directly see through that whatever all the dependent arising come from the attachment of subjectivity and objectivity, and let go of it.The problem is it's very hard for most of us to just directly see through and let go of it. 那第一个定论呢，就是直接告诉我们说，哎呀，好，我们最根本的问题就是我所的执着，然后它让我们就是变成有染污的身跟心，就我们称为有染污的叫识。身识是变成怎么操作的，然后因为这样的染污的身跟识的之见呢，然后所有的众缘因为它而成立。所以他直接看到根本的问题，也就是国兴法师讲的，就直接就是破能所，然后怎么样。那问题是我们大部分的人没有这样的根器，直接看到自己因为能所的执着来操作自己的身心，所以直接破除，没有办法。那第二个呢， The second method that the sutra introduced is to cultivate, contemplate the 12 dependent, 12 link of dependent arising. Okay, so basically it's contemplate how the karma stream, vexation stream, and suffering stream operated. And so we reverse it. Okay, so we talk about the 12 dependent 12 link dependent arising, okay, origination something. 那第二个呢，就想说，那因为我们呢，我们刚刚不是讲说，因为最核心的看不到，那但是我们至少可以看到自己的业流、烦恼流跟苦流吧。所以呢，第二个方法呢，就是介绍了所谓的十二因缘法，观十二因缘法。那最主要是要逆十二因缘。好，来停息这样的一个这样的一个运作，来修行。The third method we introduce is contemplating the five grasping aggregates. Okay, so in other words, how we operate our five aggregates, how the five aggregates perform in the daily life, and how our five aggregates.Attach, grasped, and whatever we perceive become vexation. Okay. And we talked about that in the previous talk, how to do it. 那第三个修订的方法是观五取运，所以刚刚我们讲说那个果子，那个苹果就是五取运嘛，就是说那我们必须要有五运，就是色受想行识，然后就是色法跟心法的这种操作。那在 这个操作当中，我们会去因为执着，所以所有我们感知的身心世界变成我们烦恼的来源。那我们要借由观无取运来放下执着，就只能现在就只能把苹果摘掉了，不要让它再去灌溉我们的什么能所的执着。So if you can recall this, the ultimate way is to cut off the attachment of subjectivity and objectivity here. But if we cannot do that, at least we have to cultivate, reverse the stream of karma, vexation, and suffering. But if we still too weak to reverse this stream of karma, vexation, and suffering, at least we have to, you know, remove the apple, the fruit of five grasping aggregates. And from these three parts, we can still cut. At least we stop the nurturing of our ignorance and the attachment. 那所以这个图就是告诉我们说，这三个方法哈，要么第一个你就从核心直接根就去除了哈，那没办法，至少不要让它长成大树哈，就是这个业流、烦恼流、苦流呢，不要让它长得很大，就直接反过来，就说你有种子，但是你不要长成树。但是呢，又没有办法，长成树了之后呢，至少不要让它结果，哈，就是无取运，不要让它结果。那从这三个地方下手呢，直接关，把它停息，但是问题是说，这三种方法其实都是要非常立根、善根深厚的人，才可以有所成就。However, these three methods, we need to have a strong sharp roots to cultivate in order to have significant progress. The problem is for all of us, it's very hard to just contemplate these three things and cut off the vexations. So we need another method, more expedient and more significant practice, more easy method for us to practice. 那这三个，所以这部经典呢，又在介绍 how we can cut this, any part of this, and to see our true nature. So the fourth method to cultivate samadhi is expediently contemplate the inhales and exhales. Okay, so this is more close to us, our condition. So contemplate the breathing in and out is a very common method for all the Buddhist tradition to cultivate a samadhi and wisdom. So the fourth method we introduce is how to cultivate this method. And then use this method, we can expediently contemplate the five grasping aggregate. So this method is different from the previous, the method three, directly contemplate the five grasping aggregates. This is use breathing in and out to contemplate the five grasping aggregate. And then if we can do that, then we will continue to the sixth method, is we can contemplate the exhaustion of the three karmic activities. Okay. And this is more expedient and more practical for all ordinary sentient beings. 那后来我们又介绍了第四五六个方法，那就是真的比较方便法了哈，就是修定的方便法。那佛陀介绍了什么？出入习观，好，就数习。那我们有讲有介绍哈，就是用数习的这个 单纯简单的一个方法呢，来达到前面三个的目的。那接着我们又用出入息来随顺观无取运，随顺就是方便的，那用呼吸的进出来观这个无取运，而不是直接的观无取运。那第六个方法就是说，能够随顺观无取运的时候，慢慢的就可以进把三种行给观尽，就是福、罪、福跟非罪非福。这个我们上次也有讲。 OK, and then if we can do that, then following the seventh method is to contemplate to reach the perfection of four foundations of mindfulness. And this is itself is another talk, and but we briefly describe how these methods are practiced. 那第七个方法就是介绍要怎，就是第七个在进入就是四念处的圆满。好，那四念处就是观身不净、观受是苦、观心无常、观法无我。这个主题本身就是一个主演讲的主题，那我们上次也是稍微带过一下它大概是什么样的一个状况。 The eighth methods we introduce is how to perfect the practice of the right effort path. Okay, so this is a way perfection of right effort path is actually very deep and very profound. And although for ordinary people in our daily life, we can practice that as well, but we got to attain to a certain level of samadhi for us to really complete the practice of this right effort path. 那我们又介绍了第八个方法，修定的方法其实是八正道。那大家觉得八正道里面我们有稍微介绍为什么正念正定来自怎么修，那 它是来需要正见跟正思维，我们有稍微介绍这样的一个戒定慧的修持方法，但是要真正得到圆满的时候，一定要有相当程度的定跟慧。那所以这个我们也介绍了。 So today I'm going to continue the ninth method, the total method, we have 10 methods. The ninth method is less familiar for all of us. It's called the 18th Buddha's practice that is not common to all other practice. In other words,this method, there is a specific term, the Sanskrit term here. I don't know how to pronounce it. But anyway, this is the practice that all the bodhisattva practice just right before they attain the Buddhahood. The 18th method is the method that the bodhisattva practice.Right before the moment right before they attain the Buddhahood. 那十八不共佛法，那这是一个很专业的术语，那我们比较少听到，是因为这个是菩萨在成佛前的那一刻修行的。好，所以它是非常非常的这个就是蛮高的境界的哈。那但是呢 I'm not going to elaborate talk about this 18 methods, but the from the item we will get a sense of, you know, how Buddha how they operate their body, speech and mind. Okay, 那我们呢没不会在这次里面真的是去讲十八不共法呢到底是怎么样一个境界，但是列出来只是让大家了解说，那佛呢成佛的时候他身口意是怎么操作的。For example, the first three is the body has no mistake, the speech has no mistake, the thought has no mistake. What the mistake means? Mistake means no mistake means everything is reside on the true Dharma, the ultimate Dharma. Okay. For example, we need to achieve the stage of perfection of the precept holding in order to operate our body without mistakes. Okay. So, and also, for example, in our daily life, you try to help others and then you take some actions. It doesn't really help others. Sometimes it causes people more vexations. This is body action with mistakes because this is not what they need, and this your action does not help them indeed. Okay. But Buddha, when they operate, the action they take is exactly what that people need and help that people. At the same time, no vexations. So if in order to operate our body, speech, and mind without any mistakes, the foundation is not based on vexation, on our vexation or attachment view. Okay, now, 只是讲说身口身无失口无失跟念无失哈，是佛陀身口意，他在操作的时候是不会有误差，不会有错失的哈。像我们有时候想要帮别人哦，那一个是帮你，你采取行动不是他要的，然后更惨的是引起他很大的烦恼跟问题。好，那佛陀的他当他要救度众生的时候呢，他一出手是没有差错的，好，就刚好是你所要的。那要怎么样身口意无失呢？他最根本的一个条件是怎么样？我们在操作我们身口意的时候，不是基于我们自己的烦恼跟执着。假设我们自己有烦恼跟执着的时候，我们所做的身口意的动作行为都有过失的。 OK, 那 then we fast forward passing to all the body speech and mind action are all based on wisdom. OK, and then this wisdom Buddha knows all the past lives without any obstacles, all the future lives without any obstacles, and all the present life without obstacles. Okay. 那佛陀讲说，那所以佛陀呢，所有的身口意，而且不仅是没有过失，而且他都是基于佛的最高智慧，都是在这个最高智慧上，所以呢这样的一个智慧可以知道过去是无碍，未来是无碍，跟现在是无碍。And this is very, this we can read a lot of stories in the sutra. What you know, we call it what is that called? The spatial ability to or supernatural ability that you know your past life. For example, some arhat may see our past life maybe for 100 lives or 1,000 lives, but they didn't know beyond. But Buddha know all the past lives, no obstacles. So that's why in the sutra, there is a story talk about there is a man, he want to become a monk. But all Buddha's high disciple all say that no, he has no any virtues or any good merits that he can become a monk. So they disagree that try to help this guy to become a monk. But then Buddha say, yeah, he can become a monk. Why? Because in the past long lives before, that he has a good merit is when he was chasing by the tiger, and then he climbed to the tree, and then he said Buddha. He only said Buddha, and then that's the merit that he can become a monk. Okay, so that's the story to tell us that, you know, the arhat, the great arhat, their ability to see the past life is limited, but Buddha is unlimited. It's the complete. Okay, 所以这边讲智慧，知过去事无碍，哈，一样的。那我们在佛经上有看到一个故事，哈，有一个很不怎么样的一个男子，他想要出家了，哈。所有佛陀的大弟子都是大阿罗汉，一看这个人完全没有善根可以出家，就说都说 no， 但佛陀一看他可以出家，因为他看到无量劫世以前这个男子曾经被老虎追，追他没办法爬爬爬爬到树上去，在那树上的时候他就称了一句佛，就讲了一句一个字而已，佛就是他的善根，然后就说他可以出家。也就是说从这个故事里面我们可以知道说，你看那个大阿罗汉啊，什么神通有没有，目犍连神通第一，但他看到我们的过去是就是只能看到某个，那佛可以看到更远，那因为他无碍所以他可以看到。那其他讲过去现在 未来跟现在，那讲到未来又更 tricky。So talking about the future life is even more tricky because it's ever changing. How can we know one's future life? Of course, if we don't practice, we don't make any change. We always follow our karmic deeds and we follow our habitual patterns to operate our life. Then a lot of people can see your future life. Okay.But the problem is, for those who are practicing, for those who are making change, their past life, their future lives are changing. So there is a story in the sutra as well that it's a pregnant woman, right? And then in the ancient time, nobody knows it's a woman, it's a baby girl or a boy, you know, until you give birth to the baby. And then so I think it's one of Buddha's big disciple, maybe someone. And then he said that, oh, your baby is a girl. Okay. But after the baby was born, it's a boy. So the mother go complain to Buddha, say, your disciple is no good, you know. They, you know, kind of like, they have no ability to even see what my baby's gender is. So, but the Buddha say, so, yes, my disciple is correct when he see your baby at that time, your baby was a girl. But things change. So when you give birth to the baby, it become a boy. Okay. This is just a story, say things can change, even baby's gender. I don't know. But nowadays that we have, you know, high technology, so you cannot say, but something sometimes happen, you know, when they have something. What is that called? How do you do it? Narrowgram, and then some make mistake as well. Okay, but anyway, it's just like Buddha know our future not based on current conditions, and he would know that when the changes is involved, and what will we be. Okay, 所以你说未来是无碍哈，那在佛经上哈，其实这个更难。的原因是他一直在改变，好，那佛陀有很多弟子都有神通的嘛，好，那在佛陀时代呢，就有人就是比如说怀孕了嘛，那时候就 不是高科技的，所以都不知道生出来的是男是女。但你有神通的时候，你就可以看到嘛。那我就记得佛经地载里面就说，佛陀呢，就看到一个妇女，那妇女就问他嘛，大罗汉说，我这个 baby 是男是女？他说，我忘了是男是女。他说，这个是女孩，对吧？结果几个月后生出来是男孩。那他就跑去跟佛陀抱怨说，你的弟子好像能力不佳，怎么连这个都看不准这样子。那佛陀就跟他说，他是在他看你的时候他是女的，只是几个月后因缘变了，他变男的。当然在我们这个时代，就是高科技的时代，这不太可能发生，对吧？其实也有发生过了。然后就是说这样的一个神通力，就预知你会怎样，可是中间变化的因缘他看不到，一般的神通力看不到，所以怎么样，所以就会变嘛。所以all this 18 characteristics of the Buddha is has very profound meaning, and I just briefly give some example to let everybody know. But please remember, all these methods are practiced by Bodhisattva when they, right before they become Buddha. Okay, 那这八不共法就是提醒大家这不是我们说要修炼就可以修得到就是说它是菩萨在成佛前成佛的那一刻圆满的。The tenth chakra of cultivated samadhi, we talk about that, is to cultivate forbearance of non-arising to achieve the perfect wisdom of the Buddha. So the cultivated forbearance of non-arising is very, it's the highest level of cultivate forbearance. For example, for us ordinary people, entry level of forbearance is to take what happened to us without giving vexations. Entry level, okay? Like forbearance, whatever happened has its reasons. So if we give vexations, means we enforce the vex seed to give more vexations, to nurture more vexation to grow. So the first level is of forbearance cultivation is to take whatever happened as is and don't give rise to more vexation on top of this phenomena. 那一切无生法忍呢，这个真的是佛陀就是比较高层次的修行但是对我们一般来讲这是比较高层次的，这个叫做什么忍那对我们来讲呢，我们的忍初阶的忍是什么，就是说所有一切人事物发生在我们身上的时候，我们必须如实的接受它，如实就是说就是这样子接受进来，你不要再加入烦恼的种子，不要再增加更多的烦恼。所有这已经很难了，所有不公平不好的事情发生在我们身上，我们要知道说这是有因有缘的，那就这样子，而不是再把它起更多的烦恼。其实这对我们一般人来讲已经非常不容易了，那更何况是无生法忍呢。 So the cultivate forbearance of non-arising is whatever we perceive through our body and mind, we can see the original arising, which is non-arising. So Buddha say, when we can see the original arising, which is non-arising, you see the true Dharma, and you see the Buddha. Okay, 所以无生法忍呢，就是说，就是缘起法， 缘起就是无声。那佛陀讲说什么？见缘起即见法，对不对？见法即见什么？佛。好，所以这是非常高的一个层次。所以 it's also cultivate the supreme Sarangama Samadhi, and we talk about this, what is Sarangama Samadhi. 所以在能够修持无生法人，到就是等于在修持首楞严三昧。And this is also the supreme Sarangama Samadhi is also the main topic for the Sarangama Sutra. Okay, so these are the 10 methods that are introduced or summarized in this chapter 2 and the second section, second chapter. The second chapters of the second part of the second chapter talk introduce the 10 methods that help us to really see our true nature. 那刚刚那个十个方法就是第二品的第二个部分第二轮介绍的十个修定法门，就是教我们如何得解脱，就是到达第一品的那个 level 还记得吗？第一品的那个佛陀跟地藏王菩萨的互动So the second section of the second chapters are the method that introduce for us to all of us to practice so that we can achieve what Buddha or Erstor Bodhisattva's level. Okay, that we introduced in the first chapter. Then in this chapter, Buddha also explained, for ordinary people, of course, again, when we do not have a good karma, a virtuous roots, or we don't have a strong foundation, and it's really difficult for us to practice any method that we introduced earlier, the 10 methods to practice samadhi, and what we should do. Okay, 那接下来呢，佛陀真是很慈悲的因为他介绍了很多的方法给我们。那可是问题是说我们的善根微弱，我们的基础不好，我们没有很足够的资粮，在这个状况下呢，常常我们的修行是没有办法入门的。十个方法不管修哪个方法，你即便连数息都数不进去，顶多是身心安定，关不到什么东西的所以呢，佛陀就说对于我们这样的人呢，他又要介绍一个什么加行法So, Buddha is very compassionate. He knew that most of ordinary people, we will encounter difficulties when we practice any of the method that he introduced earlier. So he taught us that if we found out that we don't have ourselves during the practice, no matter how we practice, just cannot get it. It just cannot get in. Okay. So then if we found out that, I don't have a strong virtuous roots or a foundation is too weak, he introduced the chanting method. The so-called chanting is not like, like in the ceremony chant, that kind of chanting. It's basically just you repeat reading the sutra. You take a sutra, you keep reading it again and then again, diligently, without idling. Okay, so that means here it's clearly point out we have to practice this recitation in the early night, in the late night, diligently, without idling. Means, except sleeping time, you have to chant, reading, recite this sutra again and again. Okay, or in the mantra. Okay. 那所以在这里的时候，假设我们在修行，不管大家去摸门嘛， 摸这个门，摸那个门，摸来摸去，发现怎么摸就是摸不进门，找不到把手进门，就在那边，然后就发现说，自己善根真的是不够，然后基础也不够，然后法又不入心的时候呢，那佛陀就说就要来习诵了，就是把经典，等一下讲，每个人的根器又诵不一样的经典，你除了睡觉时间之外，初夜后夜要精勤无怠，就是才不能懈怠哦，不能偷懒哦。说等一下就说好想睡觉就去喝咖啡，喝咖啡顺便就吃面包了呗，吃面包了就顺便聊聊天嘛那就半天就过去了，对吧？那就叫做懈怠，不可以这样子So some of us, when we try to practice, we always find excuse, idle, lazy. Sometimes feel like, I feel sleepy. You know, my eyes cannot open. I need coffee. So you go to the bakery, get a coffee, and you found out that the dessert is good. Get a dessert, and then it's good. You know, you share with friends. You call your friends.And you share dessert, coffee with him or her, and then you start chatting. Talk about this and talk about that, and half day passed. This is called idling. When we practice, Buddha say, the early night, the late night, just practice, you cannot find any excuse, just chant. Okay? 所以真的是不可以。那 how we chant?There is a way we chant. Okay. So I combined Master Meng Chan's, in the sutra, it did not really, clearly say step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. But I combined Master Meng Chan's, suggestion and my own, experience.I kind of list out 6 parts. At least we have to do 3 or 4 parts in order to practice this chanting. The first, we got to have a starting ceremony. This ceremony is not like, you have to do a lot of things. The ceremony is a way that you, actually you can use that to calm your body and mind. So, if your environment allowed,You can have a table and you put a little incense and a Buddha's, statue, and then you can prostrate 3 times. Okay. And then you join palms and you kind of make your vows or, say that, you know, I so and so, I want to chant this sutra. I hope that, something, okay? This is just a very simple starting ceremony. 那诵经的方式这个部分是我整理就是孟禅老和尚他自己的经验还有我自己的一些经验那我把它整理了6个重点不一定说每个都一定要但是呢这是非常重要的可以帮助我们怎么诵经那第一个就是要刚开始要有一个小小的仪式即便没有时间要很简单那像就是说你可以比如在佛像面前点一个香不点香也没有关系就是说你就是至少是沉淀你的身心收摄你的身心的一个方式比如说你可以礼佛三拜或是你不能拜你就问讯只是说我要开始诵经了那我先请佛菩萨加持然后就是有一个开始你不要去一坐下来经就拿起来念就是你要就是你有一个小小的收摄身心的方式礼佛三拜佛像在佛像面前然后你坐下来这样就是一个方式 And the second part is then you can sit on chair you can standing and you can sit on a cushion or you can walk around you know steadily walk around and but we got to have a stable body and mindSo, for example, sometimes it's time for you to chant your sutra, okay? You, you, you assign yourself a certain period of time, is a time zone for you to practice. But unfortunately, you just have a fight with your spouse or your kids. Okay, you have trouble and you get very angry or very exciting because the stock skyrise, you know, you make a lot of money today, okay? So, but you have to let go, you know, all this excitement or angry, you have to meditate. You use meditate, you can use meditate. Sit a little bit to calm down, let go of all your emotion, and then focus your mind to chant the sutra. The problem is, you know, for those of you who chant the sutra for a long time, we all know that when we chant sutra, a lot of wandering thoughts still exist, right? And sometimes a strong emotion still with us. And this time, we really have to focus. And the way I focus is I read the word by word very clearly. Because we are so familiar with the content of the sutra. Sometimes we just like sentence to sentence, we can repeating it without awareness, right? We can read the sutra at the same time thinking about something else. At this time, we really have to one word by one word so that we can focus, use the word to focus our mind on the sutra. 那接下来呢，你可以或立或坐，但是不能卧了，就是你要站着念也可以，你打坐的念也可以，你甚至可以什么经行绕念来念你的经，但是你必须要安定身心。比如说我们都有恒课，我们规定自己晚上九点到十点就是诵经时间，假设了，但是很或是你早上七点到八点是你诵经时间，但是很可惜就是呢，就是你要诵经的时候，你的先生太太就来找茬了，你小孩来找茬，一下子来要钱，一下子这样那样，车子撞到，然后你们就吵架了嘛，吵架的时候，这时候或是说今天哇，股票收盘现在是涨还是跌啊，忽然之间发现自己今天赚好多钱呢，好乐死，好高兴哦，这样好兴奋的要命，还想说明天刚要去买个名牌包，就那个身心就很强的一个情绪在，说不行，你这时候你就要打坐一下，把自己身心安定，把这些东西去除，不要让自己有很强的情绪反应，然后才开始念经。那你若能够很安心的念经就好，但是有时候我们念经念久，尤其是念得很熟的人，经文很熟的人都知道，念着念着就是变成机械式，你真的可以甚至诵背念，哇，咒文什么一直念一直念，然后一边就想说这个股票怎么样 我怎样要怎么去修理我这个小孩，这超不听话，真的呢，双向双行的都通畅无碍，还蛮觉得自己蛮精进用功把一部经念完。这时候我的方法，因为我也会有这样的问题，这时候方法我就要慢，念经的速度要慢下来，是一字一字的念，一字一字的念，地藏菩萨本愿经卷上刀立天宫神通品第一，一个字一个字念，用这种方法把自己的杂念，就是你要把这个所缘境变得比较强比较慢，来专心。 And after you can focus, then we talk about sincere mind. The sincere mind is your mind and the sutra united. And you can contemplate what Buddha said in the sutra. You can contemplate. When you chant the sutra in the beginning, sutra, Buddha talk about, the flower, the rain, the thing, and the Buddha enter into the samadhi, all the wisdom, or the bodhisattva, you can feel, you can, you feel like you are with them. You know, and when Buddha, the sutra talk about the compassion, the people suffering, and you automatically generate a compassionate mind. And you want to follow the Buddha to make this vow. You know, no matter what the Buddha, the sutra says, your mind is with Buddha's mind. That's called sincere mind. That's when you can do that. Okay? 那当我们能够专心的时候呢，到很熟练的时候，我们就可以达到自心。自心的时候才能够真正的随文作观哦。哦那这个我也很少出现，偶尔出现、哦、就是说当你很自心的时候，你的心跟佛的心或菩萨的心是一体的。那这时候你读刚开始经文不是说哇雨天宝花吗、哦、然后什么雨啊、哦、什么东西光啊都来了、哦、这个时候你可以感受到那个殊胜的境界，你好像都跟这个诸佛菩萨都在一起了。然后当佛呢讲到说众生的苦，你会跟他一起发大悲心，想要助救度众生、哦、那当你菩萨讲到什么智慧的光明的时候呢，你反正你就跟佛的心是同一个心，这个叫做随文作观、哦、这自心，这个是真的要诵经诵到、哦、达到这种境界的时候、哦、你的信心就很坚强了、哦、So this is a very profound experience that you know we can chant the mind wholeheartedly and mindfulness wholeheartedly with our sincere mind and to follow the content of the sutra and as is you are one of the audience that listen to the Buddha. Okay? And also when Buddha says something, your mind can feel Buddha's mind. Okay? Anyway, so this it won't happen very frequently for the beginners. Okay? Even I myself, I chant one sutra for more than 10 years. It didn't happen a lot, okay, for me. So I have a lot, you know, to practice. Long way to go. But anyway, before we end the chanting, I myself would like to make a vow, you know, sometimes make a vow saying that, you know, oh, the Erastus Bodhisattva is so great, you know, I wish I can make the same vow as his vow. Or I want to make the same vow. Or we can make it simple. I vow to chant this sutra 400 times. I hope that I can finish this 100 times without any obstacles. Okay? This is also a vow. And before I finish this chanting, and then I transfer the merit. Transfer the merit is must do, okay? Transfer the merit, the chanting, if there is any merit that I generate, I will transfer the merits. You can transfer the merits from those close to you and to more far away and then to all the sentient beings. For example, if your parents get sick right now and you can say, this merits I would like to dedicate or transfer to my parents. I hope that they can get well soon, you know, or they won't bother by this pain, they have less suffering because of the sickness. Okay, and then you say, okay, and then I also want to transfer merit for those disaster victims, you know, whatever you know, or your neighbors, or the society, and then or any disaster event, and then you finally transfer the merit to all the sentient beings. Okay, 那我每次要结束诵经的时候哈，那我个人通常有时候就会发愿，比如说我已经发愿说我这个要念100遍哈，我希望我能够顺利的哈念完，不要起懈怠心啊，不要有任何的障碍哈，因为有时候哈虽然 讲说一百遍，你可能是念十年嘛，因为中间停了五年这样子，就不好了嘛。就是一直发现，就是知道我要做，我要做，我一定要做了，任何困难我要做。然后最第六项回向是一定要做的啦，是说我们送任何经，不管是不是攒心念杂，就是或是专心念，任何的功德我们都要想到说要回向。那有回向的时候，我们就会提醒自己要好好的专心念，因为不然人家都收不到嘛。然后你就说我们可以从近到远，常常有人问从近到远，就是说比如说你知道你的父母亲或任何人他现在生病，然后你可以说我希望回向他早日康复，或是这个病痛不要带他 get 给他太多的痛苦。好，然后慢慢的说我家邻居或是这个社会或是哪里有天灾人祸，希望回向给这些受难的人，然后最后是法界一切众生，然后回向给大众嘛。那这是一个诵经的方式。 So I myself benefit a lot through this practice like chanting certain sutra for many years and I found out that even I have strong emotion, that usually we meditate first, then chant, right? And sometimes the strong emotion is so strong that you cannot even meditate. But I found out that I can stabilize my mind through chanting. I just grab the sutra and sit in front of the Buddha and I just start chanting and empty my mind justword by word, and eventually I find out that my mind and my emotion come down through chanting itself. So this is a very good way, and also Master Taishi, from Sifu's book, he said that Master Taishi吧，应该是读经开悟的，有没有？ Master Taishi has many enlightenment experience when he was reading the sutra, chanting the sutra. So the chanting the sutra is a way to cultivate samadhi. The samadhi that he can have.Enlightenment experience. Okay. 那诵经的方式也是一个修定修慧的方式哈。我如果没有记错的话，师父在他的书籍上有提到说，太虚大师，他诵经有好几次开悟的经验，就进入那个 佛心的世界。是师父讲他的开悟经验哈。太虚大师大悟小悟很多次，好几次是在他诵经的时候，所以诵经本身是可以修定修开发智慧的。 OK, So chanting the sutra is a way to cultivate wisdom, cultivate samadhi and cultivate merit. OK, It's a very good practice for ordinary people. Wisdom, of courseThrough the content of the wisdom, you know, we sometimes understand this part, sometimes understand this sentence, and you keep reading it. Sometimes the same sentence, you understand in different levels through the time. Okay, so this is a way to cultivate our wisdom and also the samadhi. You know, by word by word, you might stick with the sutra is a way to cultivate samadhi.And the more profound samadhi is the samadhi in the Buddha's mind. Okay, so that's the equally upholding the wisdom and samadhi kind of samadhi. Okay, and how about the merits? You are sitting in the room, you're chanting the sutra, what kind of merits you will get? Any merits, you think?Yeah. Good? Good merits. Yeah, what kind of merits? compassion. Yeah. In Chinese, 哈，我们刚刚讲到修定修慧，对吧？哈，很明显嘛，哈，我们啊，从经文里面哈，大家都应该有这样的经验，一下子你会觉得这句话忽然对你很有用，一下子是这句话啊，有时候同样一句话，今年、明年、后年，你对它的了解又不同，哈，所以这个是不断的开发我们智慧的一种方式。那修定刚开始就刚刚讲好。你可以专注在这个经文上，就是一种定。那更好的定就是定慧等次的定，就是你的心进入那种不动，但是又是佛心的境界。好，的定慧等次的一种定境。那修福呢？诵经可以修福吗？修什么福？有什么福？你在你的房间里面诵经，你布施了什么呢？给谁呢？啊？回向，好，天龙八部哈，那边 people talk about the Dharma protector, they are also listening. Okay. For me, my understanding is through the chanting, you generate faith.You generate wisdom is a merit for all the sentient beings. Okay. And also, when you chant, you have to believe that, not only you are reading the sutra. So all the sentient beings that coexist with us also hear the Dharma. And also, if we do it scientific way, when you read a sutra, when you are with the sutra, your body and mind will in a different good energy mode that will benefit others as well. Okay, and the lastly, you talk about the transfer of merits. You transfer, so that's how you have to know what the merits are.When you transfer the merits, okay? So, 我们在想哈，福是什么？我们在想说自己在诵经得到慧跟定的时候，不是只有我们自己。当然了，等我们能够得到更好的慧跟定的时候，我们自己的这样的改变，其实就是对他人是有利的。同时呢，当我们在诵经的时候，我们要知道说，跟我们同时存在的十法界的众生都可以获得这个经文的利益。好，然后当大家讲说，哎，我们功德回向啊，就是修福啊。问题是说，当我们在功德回向的时候，你要知道你的功德是什么。你不能说，哎，我给你钱，可是我说口袋没有钱，这样很奇怪嘛，哈。所以就是说。要知道说自己的福，那自己到底能够修什么福，自己要去体会，从这个诵经的过程之中知道说带给他人的利益是什么，带给自己的利益是什么，然后我们要把这个利益回向给他人。 So any practice, no matter we practice samadhi, practice chanting, practice prostration, we have to reflect ourselvesWhat kind of merits, what kind of changes, what kind of benefit we receive and we can give. And then this will be a true merit. The best merit, Sifu say, change ourselves and start from ourselves that people around us get benefit.People, you know, next far away can get benefit. In other words, we are interconnected with everyone. In the butterfly effect, right? So one spot get changed. Actually, closer or farther, everyone get benefit. So that's why it's the true meaning of transfer the merits to all sentient beings. 那我们在想说修复的时候哈，师父讲最好的就是什么？改变自己。改变自己的时候，去周围的人有利益，再远一点的人也利益，一切众生都利益。我们虽然看不到，但是我们知道有一个什么蝴蝶效应，对吧？其实以佛教来讲，我们跟每一个众生都是怎样，都连结在一起的。那一定要相信说，你自己一点点的好，其实是对整体是有好处的。好 ，OK。What sutra we need to chant? People will have this question, you know. 法师 should I chant this Sarangama Sutra or Astora Sutra or, you know, Lola Sutra is also good, you know, and then Hua Yan Sutra is so, is highest, you know, which sutra I should chant? You know, some people change their mind all the time. When they chant this, chant Astora Sutra,when their parents get sick. Then later on, they hear like, oh, as a chant practitioners, the Sarangama Sutra is the best. So I need to chant Sarangama Sutra. And later on, we hear about the king. The king of the sutra is what? 金钟之王. Ah, Lotus Sutra.Lotus Sutra, 金钟之王. And then we heard about Hua Yan Sutra, okay, is the highest. Then you chant all the time. Here, Buddha say, okay, for all sentient beings seeking the supreme wisdom, that the supreme wisdom, Buddha's highest wisdom,then he will recommend us to practice the so-called pure Mahayana teaching. Okay. So you read and you teach people to read, and you chant, you teach people to chant, you explain it and you teach other people to explain it. Okay. So what isThe pure Mahayana teaching. 那我们哈诵经哈，一下要念这个念那个哈，听三心二意哈，变经变来变去哈，都想要最好的。佛陀说哈，来看看自己是属于跟什么相应，就读什么哈。那第一种的，他是说，如果呢，对于那些要求无上智的众生们哈。那佛就说他会把他推荐我们呢，就是读什么纯净的大圣经典、啊、那什么是纯净的大圣经典呢？ We have to remember the Mahayana teaching is help sentient being first. Always help sentient being first before we achieve the highest enlightenment. This is a very important vows. For the Mahayana practitioners, you cannot leave sentient beings to achieve enlightenment, to achieve the highest enlightenment. Because,well, this is what Guo Xinfas has been talking about, you know. Sentient being, where is sentient beings? Does sentient beings exist? And people ask, oh, don't say that again. So you mean we don't exist? Yeah, you don't exist, I don't exist. And who is practice? And people get...very anxious when we talk about no self, when we talk about that there is no sentient being. The sentient being is the sentient being in our mind, not outside. It's within, not without. But before we can realize, true realize, direct realize that all the sentient beings is within, not without. First, we have to help the sentient beings outside our mind, which we think is real, which is real because we are in a dream. But if we don't generate the body mind that we want to help sentient beings first, help them enlighten, leave the suffering first, we will never realize that they are the sentient beings within. This is my understanding. You know, you cannot just say, okay, you are not real, you are illusory, so nothing happened. For me, I cannot jump that fast. I have to practice through help others first, help other first, help other first. Through this process, one day we will realize that what we are helping outside is actually helping us inside. Okay. Anyway, 那纯净的大圣一个非常重要的大圣修行人的一个种类的心态是，一定是什么？先度众生，一定要先帮助众生，哈，发这种菩萨誓愿。你要自己读诵，教他人诵，自己读教人读，自己诵教人诵，自己说教人说，哈。那最主要的是说，什么是大圣的教法？好，那我们可以讲说，其实呢，它最高是要让我们体验到说，所有的众生是我们心内的众生。可是大家会起惶恐，说法师，你说心外的众生都不存在，我们都是虚幻的，对不对？那世间一切的现象都是不存在的。好，那这个一般的人还没有到达这个境界的时候，如果要强迫我们自己这样子的去会引起一些恐慌或是一些疑虑嘛，但是问题是说，为什么要发这个愿？发这个愿就是说，我们一次一次的帮助外在的众生的苦难，一次一次的帮他们，一次一次的帮他们，帮到有一天你发现他们是我们内心的反射。那当我们可以彻底解决自己的痛苦的时候，当我们彻底想要解决别人的痛苦的时候，我们事实上是在解决自己的痛苦。当我们在处理帮助别人处理烦恼的过程之中，是在处理我们自己的烦恼。当我们在帮助别人去除执着的时候，他正在去除我们的痛执着。那众生成佛跟我们重成佛是同时发生的。好，但是 anyway， 这是一个反正就是一个过程。但是呢，要读大圣经典，比如说你要念法华经，你要念地藏经，好，要念这些大圣经典的时候，你一定要发菩提心，不然这些法你没有办法学地藏王菩萨发众生度尽方成菩提的愿。没有办法发这个愿的时候，你永远会以自己为中心。那当我们以自己为中心的时候呢，你没有办法看到整体，没有办法看到华严世界的司法界的世界的。So why making vows?Making vows to benefit all sentient beings is so important for the Mahayana teachings. Is we make vows, we help sentient beings. When we help sentient beings to alleviate their sufferings, we are actually help ourselves alleviate suffering. When we try to help other people to let go of the attachments,we are actually helping us to let go of the attachment. So whatever we are doing outside is actually doing inside. And when we can realize that outside is inside, that's the time when all the sentient beings and ourselves attain the enlightenment at the same time. Okay, so making the vows is very important for all the sentient beings. We cannot just ignore outside and say, oh, everything is inside, so I practice inside, that's enough. And that you will isolate yourself or ignore whatever happened outside, and you keep everything inside, and then it becomes a subtle attachment of the self-centeredness. Okay, we will never see the totality, and we will never see the Huayan world, that everything exists without hindrance, and everything exists according to true suchness. Okay, so the second category is for those who are seeking the path of Pratyekabuddha. Okay, so for those practitioners, Buddha introduced the teachings of dependent origination. And just like the 12 links of dependent arising. Okay, what is the dependent arisings and how to reverse it? Those are for the Pratyekabuddha. 那求缘觉的人，就是他比较属于是由观察一切现象来修学的人呢，那佛法就是有这样的一类根器的众生呢，佛就跟他说缘起法，诸缘起法，就像说十二因缘法，然后告诉大家什么是十二因缘法，然后要怎么样的逆十二因缘来见到真理。And the third level, the third category is those who seeking the path of Sravaka. Okay, so Sravaka is like people will say like monastic is the manifestation of Sravaka. Okay, for those practitioners, Buddha recommend that we need to read the four agamas. Agamas is the basic teaching by the Buddha teach all his disciples how to know the right view and how to behave, how to keep the precepts in the daily life, and how to see all the worldly phenomena and find the real reality. Okay, and so the second part is we have to study the Vinayas. Vinaya is the precepts and regulation for all the practitioners. And also we have to read the Abhidhamma and Vivasa. Okay. So Abhidhamma is a way for all the Buddha's teaching, they use a logic to reorganize the teaching so that it's systematically. And people, I checked the website. I didn't read Abhidhamma by myself. I checked the website about what the content of Abhidhammas are. And then usually people say that Abhidhamma is Buddhist psychology. Okay, it's basically explain what our mind is and how it operates. Okay, and then Vibhasa is the sastra that explain Abhidhamma. Okay, so all the master try to explain and elaborate Abhidhamma, and so that's the Vibhasa. Okay, publication comes, and so for those who seek the path of Sravaka need to study this. And for monastic, the first two, the four agamas and vinayas are must reads for all of us. 那求生闻圣的像 我, 我们出家法师哈，通常都是现身文相，好，大概应该都有听过哈，现身文相，地藏王菩萨也是现身文相的哈，就是很少菩萨剃光头哈，但是地藏王菩萨就是现出家中的相哈，那这时候呢，佛就建议说，哎，求声闻圣的人啊，你就要念什么？这个啊，四阿含要念。好，那四阿含本身是佛陀对弟子哈，他当在世的时候，他对弟子的教诲，首先呢就是很基本的教大家怎么日常过生活，怎么样持守戒律哈，让身口意清净，怎么样的辨识哈是啊、外道邪说，什么样才是正知见，然后告诉大家怎么看待世间的一切现象，然后从世间的一切现象中去看到真理。好，那就是四阿含。然后第二类叫做 Vinaya， 他就是在讲戒律，就是在讲我们出家众的这个戒律学，戒律跟生活要怎么样行守持戒律。那第四个叫做阿毗达摩，我自己本身没有去看，但是阿毗达摩是一种把佛陀的教理次第 有结构的整理佛陀的教诲的一个书籍。那我看网络上看到他是说、阿毗达摩又称为佛教跟的心理学，他跟唯识又不太一样，就是他把佛陀在讲心的部分就是整理的很不错，心怎么操作的讲的很比较清楚。那毗婆沙毗婆沙就是在论述阿毗达摩的一种文体，所以常常大家会看到阿毗达摩阿毗达摩毗婆沙之类的就他用祖师再去说明论说阿毗达摩的一种文体啦。所以如果是求声闻圣，比如说我们出家众前两项就一定要念的嘛，就是阿含经跟这个戒律学就是一定要念的。那就有人就是我们有法师他习诵的内容就是我们的戒律，那个我们的这个四分比丘尼戒350条每天念，也是可以当成这个诵习的这个内容。 So for monastic that we have a monastic sisters, his chanting content is the Vinaya books, the Bhikkhuni Vinaya book. So he chant the Vinaya book every day. That's his major practice. Okay, so the third. So.Samadhi, when we have difficulties, cultivate samadhi directly, then we cultivate, we chanting, we practice chanting as a supplement. Okay. But still, if you survey all those people who practice chanting, including myself, we all know that we have obstacles. What kind of obstacles? You know?Most common one is you chant and you have so much wandering thought. You chant 100 times. You have so many wandering thought. You still cannot clear your mind and focus on the sutra itself. So it's far away from samadhi at all. Okay. But then the most bad karma, is you stop. You stop reciting.You vow to chant this sutra for a whole year. You vow to chant this sutra for 100 times. But then you chant 10 times. Then you have all kinds of excuse or all kinds of things happen that you don't even want to chant the sutra anymore. Or you lose faith on this sutra. That's a very, very bad.Obstacles. So what should we do? Cultivate merit. Okay. So, 那我们在诵经的人，你去 survey 一下，去调查一下，包括我自己都可以告诉你们，当我要说，我要诵经100遍的时候，那杂念妄想是最普通的 障碍啦，就是一边念边打妄想，边念边生气，边念啊，或什么情绪都有，不念都没有情绪，一念什么就想到这个人很气，然后就不念的时候都没事，跟打坐一样，不打坐都没事，一打坐怎么什么什么都出现在我们的心中，念经也一样，这样的障碍一样的有。但是我觉得最惨的，最不好的，就是最大的障碍是说，你想念100遍，你大概念了10遍之后呢，你忽然觉得不太，就怎么这样，就是不想念，或是你失去信心，你就开始怀疑，不信这部经讲的东西，你就真的不想念哦。那你要提起很大的精进心，重新再把它拿起来念哦，强迫自己念，再继续念10遍，你才可以再继续念的。那我自己也曾经发生过这样的事情，念念了，我可以不要念的，不要这个，我要想念别的，这种事情常常发生。然后有时候就，然后就有因缘发生了，对不起，然后就把经再拿出来念，这样好。那这个时候其实是这样，有时候人念经真的念不进去的，那这时候佛就说，那不然来修福，资粮不够，修福。So the third, the expedient method or the supplement, supplemental practice for all of us is, okay, Buddha said that, if you cannot cultivate samadhi, and if you cannot even keep chanting the sutra, then we have to cultivate merit. And how to practice merit? First, you have to keep away from those who have erroneous view, who tell you that this is useless to practice. You know, that's enjoy the life. Life is short. You know, don't save money. Let's spend the money and have great pleasure. Go to the very good, expensive restaurant, buy the very good car. You know, that's the meaning of life. You know, enjoy life. You know, keep away from those people who have erroneous view and always, you know, drag you to the other direction. Keep away from them. Okay. But that doesn't mean dislike them. It's just like, you know what views to keep. 那要怎么培福呢？所有的修行资粮没有资粮了，就要培福嘛。那佛陀讲说，第一个你要远离善业，你要远离恶知识啦。你要亲近善知识。你不要去跟那些人就说，哎呀，生命什么生命很短暂啊，对不对？有钱就要花啊，对不对？这个干嘛那么省，对不对？就吃好吃的，用好的嘛，对不对？然后这个要怎么样怎么样的，不要修行了，修行没有用啊，就是那笨愚痴的人才会被法师骗去庙里，这样子。法师是不是骗你们？这自己要修行，自己体会哈。修行的利益不是谁跟你讲，而是要自己体会的哈。So, Buddha say you that how to cultivate merit, serve for the Dharma, for the Buddha, for the Dharma, for the Sangha. How to serve for the Buddha? I can see Buddha, but we have Buddha statue, right? Offering flowers.Right, offering incense, even you clean the Buddha statue, clean the altar, is serving Buddha. You know, you treat this Buddha statue as Buddha. Use your sincere, respectful mind to do this offering to the Buddha. That's serving the Buddha. And how about serving the Dharma? You read the Dharma is the best way to serving the Dharma. And also, you can print, you know, help printing the sutra.Right? And you can share what you learn with others. That's serving the Dharma. How about serving the Sangha? This is very tricky. You say, Bashir, this is the most expensive tea I offer to you. That's good. This is the best cake I have ever had. I offer to you. And eventually, all the monastic has best of everything in this world. Is this helping us practice? I don't think so. We leave home to let go of the five desire, and then you offering us to attach to five desire. Okay, save the money to help the poor, to help people in need. But how you serve Sangha? Use your respectful mind. Keep, you know, offer what we need. Of course, we need to eat. We need clothing. You know, we need to have a good temple, right? And we need to practice. You need to come to help. As a timekeeper, that's also helpful, right? And then also, the last one is how to serve a good teacher. You know, as a disciple, like, you know, ordinary teacher, we need to respect our teacher. Sometimes we care about, you know, are you cold? You know, you got sick. Then, you know, I care about you. And then you have to behave yourself in the right way that in order to serve your teacher. So that's what Buddha say, how to cultivate the merits. 那我要再讲啊，快快结束啊。佛说其实最好的修佛方式呢是什么样？为佛法僧三宝服务。怎么为佛服务呢？佛不在了嘛，但是我们有佛像对吗？你可以供花，你可以供火果，你甚至来擦佛桌都可以，擦佛像擦佛桌都可以，这是你把它当成佛在世来供养它。那怎么样供养法呢？当然读它，读法是最好的供养。那但是你可以印经嘛，对不对？你可以把你学到的东西分享给别人，就是最好对法的服务。怎么样服务僧宝呢？好，我刚刚讲啊，我常常提啊，其实师父在世的时候一直提醒我们，所有的法师，我们所用的衣物饮食不可以超越一般老百姓的水平以上。当然大家很好心嘛，这是最棒的衣服，最棒的苹果，最棒的什么，最棒的 everything， 好，就来给我们法师用嘛，哈。那最后变成我们法师是什么？是好世间上最享福的好人，那就违背我们出家的本意。我们出家是为了要离五欲，对吧？离五欲来修清净的梵痕，结果我们反而招惹了，不是招惹了，招感了。好，五欲的诱惑，那好，以至于现在我们就不能喝 instant coffee 了哈，一定要喝啊 Starbucks 以上的 coffee。天哪，那这到底是好是不好？我也不知道了哈。那还有一个就是亲近老师，亲近你的亲教师，就是你直接的老师，然后你去服务，就当侍者来服务你的老师，比如说他讲课需要水了，你帮他倒一杯水啊。如果说天气冷他感冒了，那你就关心他说，你师父啊，你感冒了，这有没有什么药你需要用，或是我熬一个什么汤给你喝，这都是侍奉，就是你表示你关心，你在注意这个老师，你尊敬他，你希望对他有益嘛。那这就是培福的最好方式，服务佛法僧，好，实践佛法哦，实践佛法，好，实践佛法包括什么？帮助一切众生嘛，对吧？好，然后侍奉，用这样的方式来先培福，好，那累积资粮够的时候呢，你诵经就会比较没障碍。诵经没有障碍之后呢，慢慢的，前面讲的十个修定的方法就可以入门，好，就可以获得利益，好。Okay, so I just briefly talk about the second section of the chapter 2. So next talk, I'm going to move faster to finish what's in the second chapter. Basically, talk about what obstacles that we will have and how to overcome the obstacles, and also what kind of process thatwe practitioners need to move forward until we get to the ultimate destination. Okay, 所以接下去这个是把第二品的第二章 第二节讲完，那下一次呢我就要赶快快快讲，因为我也这个这个经蛮长的，基本上要把第二品讲完，就是如说修行之后呢，还是会遇到一些障碍，或是遇到你要怎么样能够慢慢的一步一步的走上成佛之道，那就是这样子。这个我们就没时间讲了，这个有机会再讲。好。